ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 26. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Let's take our Bibles, go to the book of Acts chapter 26. We're coming down to the final stretch in this particular book. Luke is its author, and he tells us the stories about how the church had spread far and wide in accordance with what the Lord Jesus said in chapter 1, that the gospel would go to Jerusalem, to Judea, and to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Here he is telling us about how not only did it go to the uttermost parts of the earth, but it also went to the highest echelons of power. Paul himself being a chosen vessel by Almighty God to bring the word to the place where it would reach even to the throne room of Caesar himself. This is a chapter dealing with one of three prominent figures in authority. The first one was Felix, the second one was Festus, and now we have Agrippa before us, who is known as King Agrippa. We noted as we looked at him the last time we were together that his name means hero-like, which is an interesting designation. He is Herod Agrippa II. This man has quite an interesting history about him. He is one of the Herods, which were all notorious in a negative sense. He is a man who marries his sister. Her name is Bernice. She is cataloged for us in this passage as well. His sister he married. This is not uncommon in those days for those who were in echelons of power to do that, which was unseemly from a spiritual and religious perspective. They just did what they wanted to do. And this man was a man who was known to have been very interested in a lot of the things that had to do with the Jewish people, probably because he was going to be overseeing them, but it touched his heart when he learned about it. There are a lot of people in America today who do know about God because they've been brought up in America. They know about Him. They can watch TV and see different facets of Christendom out there set forth on the television set. And they might think they believe in God. They might think that they know about God. But because of the mishmash that's out there, there's a confusion that might be in their minds. But they know some things. They know some things. And they might want to look at this man because he knew a lot of things about Judaism and also about the new birth of the Christianity that was afoot at that time. And here he is wanting to hear about what had happened with Paul because he had been introduced to his case by Festus. I want you to know that when you look at this man, I've entitled the message Almost Persuaded, because he says that at one point. When he hears the testimony of Paul, he says, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." There are a lot of people who are almost persuaded, but almost is not enough. We used to have a little saying, you know, close is okay in horseshoes and grenades, but it doesn't work so good when it comes to the truth of the gospel. No, this is one of those men who you can kind of identify with. If you're on the outside looking in, you've not crossed the line yet, because he was almost persuaded, partly because he was exposed to Judaism. He was exposed to the narratives of history in his day. And he was a man who, when he does not choose the right things and to follow the right, he ends up having a whole lot of difficulty as a result of that. He will reign in his position over this area of Rome for about 50 years. At one point, there's going to be an uprising in a few years from the time of this writing. He and Bernice are barely going to escape with their lives. He's going to later come back, and he's going to be able to be back in power, and he's going to be applauding the subjugation of the Jewish people at one point. He wasn't one of your primary persecutors, but he did, in fact, revel in the fact that they did get their position back. This is a man whose history overlaps certain people like Nero. You remember Nero was the one who actually killed himself. He was the one who set Rome on fire and blamed it on Christians. I mean, this guy hated Christians. He lit his courtyards with the bodies of Christians, taking them, dipping them in pitch, and putting them up on poles and using it as the light in his courtyard, which would take him from one place to another of significance. This man was pretty insane. So he lived in a very weird time. And his life will not be one of conversion, although he has a sympathy for it at this point still. When his father died, he was supposed to take his father's place, but he was only 17 years old, so he couldn't. So that's why he's called King Agrippa here. And he takes the designation of king. And when you follow his story, he eventually does get the position that puts him in power over the area of Palestine or Israel, as it were. So with those kind of thoughts, I want you to keep an eye on him, though Paul's going to be primary in the narrative. Verse 1 says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself." And he says this, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." Now, whenever a preacher starts out with the word "hear me patiently," he's probably going to go on for a while. And Paul is a preacher, man. If you read his letters, he was always saying, we take this trail, and about a chapter later, he says, now back to this, you know, and you'll find that in his writings. But his patiently here is not going to be quite that drawn out. He is going to get a catalog of his circumstance and of his backstory and of his conversion, but it will be a little more detailed than we have seen heretofore. And as he says in verse 2, he says, "I think myself happy." You could underline the word "happy." The word is makarios. There are two words for the word "blessed" in the New Testament. One is eulogeo, which is blessed. You know, blessed is the Lord God, meaning you can say good things about Him. And then there's makarios, which is blessed are the poor in spirit, the blesseds of the Beatitudes. This is that. This is a person who is a person that should be congratulated. Somebody who is literally ecstatic, happy, had found that peaceful happiness. And Paul has that as he speaks to Agrippa, which is an interesting thing. You may have found times where you've talked to somebody and you felt like the conversation went really well when it came to spiritual things. You've had an opportunity to share the Lord with them, and they've interacted with you. They've asked questions. Sometimes they even get saved. That's an awesome day. And it's something you feel makarios. You feel blessed to be able to do, share with them about the Lord. Sadly, some people don't get saved, though you thought you took great strides in the right direction, but then they walk away and eventually it's like, did we even have that conversation? That's going to be Agrippa's story, but nevertheless, he's very happy to talk to him. He's makarios, and that means that he is very much blessed or fortunate or somebody who is to be congratulated. Paul's in a position to be speaking to kings and to rulers, to governors, and one day to Caesar himself. And I think that's something that's pretty profound. Do you realize how amazing it is that somebody talked to you one day about Jesus? Do you realize how amazing it is that you were put in a position in this world where you could hear the gospel being a little bit more accessible to you here in the United States? What a blessing it is. We are blessed above all nations to have the free ability to share Christ and to seek out Christ and to find things out about the Lord Jesus that we need to know for our soul's welfare. Many countries don't have that privilege, right? Some of these nations put people to death for sharing Christ. We, on the other hand, still have the ability to share the Lord Jesus and have that discourse. And so we have him speaking to Agrippa, and he says, "I think of myself as happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself before thee." And he says that because of verse 3. He says, "I know that you're an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews." Now that's important. There are a lot of people who think that they know Christianity. They think they got it down. They think they got this thing figured out. I've actually heard people say, "I've read the Bible. Oh, I've read it, but I don't get it." And you know, you can't get it when you don't know Jesus. In fact, the Bible says the New Testament is a closed book to the Jews until Jesus is factored in. And when it's not mixed with faith when you're reading this book, it can be a problem for you altogether, especially if you come with one eyebrow raised. I have heard tell of people who've read the Bible who were literally seeking, and the Bible unfolded for them. Which goes to punctuate the point we've made often, which echoes a sentiment set forth by H.A. Ironside, where he said, "Light received brings greater light, but light rejected brings forever night." People can't approach the Word of God and look at it as if somehow they're going to master it and they're going to, as it were, debunk it. If they don't have an honest heart, they're going to have no light being given. But there are people who started out to try to unpack it and bring it into a disrepute, like Josh McDowell and others. But when they got in there, they began to realize the evidence was mounting. I guess it was Lee Strobel's the newest guy in that crowd, and there's others that are not quite so well known. But what we have is the Word of God, forever settled. And you want to know something about the Bible that is really neat, is that the Bible claims to be the inerrant, infallible Word of God. We hold it to be the verbal, plenary, inspired Word of God, which means not only is every word, but the whole scope of it is absolutely inspired. Now, why that is important, plenary is a word for wandering. In other words, wherever you wander in the principles, verbal is the word for words. Every word, every principle, every thought is inspired by God. The reason that's important is because we hazard everything on the conviction that this book is the very Word of God. That means that we're really setting ourselves up, because if it could be broken, it would be broken in a moment. But it can't be. It has held fast. Do you know, if I stand before you, you could take any given message that I bring and you can say, well, that wasn't accurate, or you got those numbers wrong, or that news story was a little bit befuddled. And I try to be accurate, and I stumble. I got a lot on my mind when I'm trying to give you stuff, and sometimes something commends itself. I try to give you, may not get it out perfectly. And if it was me saying I was verbally inspired, you'd wipe me out in one message. There are 66 books here, and they hold fast. Isn't that good? It's good to know the Word of God is settled. It's good to know that we have a sure foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. I'm telling you, we need to remind ourselves that this is not just nothing. You take Mormonism and their book does not hold water. You take the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, it doesn't add up, because they've taken liberties that were not theirs to take. And they've changed things. You take any religion and you can't find anything anywhere near it. Not only that, but it's backed up by history. This is a book that we can look at and say it is altogether worthy of a lifelong study. And in verse 3 he says, you are an expert in all the customs and the questions among the Jews. Some people like to fancy themselves to be very astute as far as customs and questions regarding religion. They like to fancy themselves to be above it all, and that is a dangerous place to be. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. We need to remember that if we are prone to having a mind that is deep in intent, that's good, because God would have it so. There's much to be discovered. The Bible talks about it as the glory of a king to search out a matter. So we do that. It's a glory of God to conceal, and it's a glory of kings to search it out. So we should do that and have that kind of a mind. But if we find ourselves going too much to the headiness and forgetting the application, which is to love, then we need to rethink our position. So Agrippa knew about these people, probably because he knew one day they would be under his dominion in one sense. And I want to suggest to you that as we look at him, he is a young man who is coming into his own soon, and he is well aware of things that he is dealing with in his future domain. Paul tells Agrippa that he is excited to talk to him, and then he begins in verse 4 by saying, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify. Now, you should be getting a better picture of who Paul is by the study of the book of Acts. This is Paul of Tarsus, right? That's where he was born, but he was sent down to Jerusalem to sit at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a freeborn citizen in Rome, and he was a Jew, and he was of the strictest sect of the Pharisees. You begin to see who this guy is. He is a man who is all in for God.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.